If you have your Bibles this morning, I would ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, and we are going to read from verse 5 through 15. Before we read God's Word, I'll ask you to join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Word this morning, that we can look into your Word once again. Your Word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we pray this morning that you'll, through the power of your Spirit, God, that you will speak to us. Make known your ways to us through your word. Open our hearts to receive your word this morning. We give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell in good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is God's word. Well, this morning I just want to give thanks to God again for the opportunity to bring his word to each and every one of you. I was just saying to Trish this morning that I have double vision for a longest while, almost 6 or 7 years, and I was just telling her that there are times when double vision just showed up, and it's very confusing to me, and everything that I see, everything that I look at, it's always double of everything that I see, and it's been going well for some time. And I just spoke to her this morning, and as I was reading the brochure there, I was leading the prayer this morning, and Abigail took over. Double vision kicks in right in and sort of throw me off guard. So I must apologize. And also, you find that my reading sometimes it's a bit slow. So I ask you to be patient with me, because I find that for some reason this morning the double vision seems to kick in. But we're going to give God thanks for allowing me to bring his word. The other thing that I would like to also apologize for is the songs that we sang this morning. I know it's all new to most of you that are here this morning. And I know that, Trish has given us a list of songs that we can choose from. So hopefully the next time we're here, we're going to be able to pick from the list and trust that we can worship the Lord together. So let me continue here this morning. So last week we did an introduction to parables for most of you that were here. And we looked at why Jesus spoke in parables. So the question was, why parables? And we did a very look at what that meant for the New Testament parables. And also we touched on a few of the Old Testament parables. And I promise over the course of the several weeks that I'm going to be here, or whenever I'm here next, that we'll explore some of the parables of Jesus. So this morning we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower. And I'm always, like I said, fascinated by the parables of Jesus. And there was a time when I couldn't grasp And I said this last week, the meaning and interpretation. And I find that if we take the time to read and study these parables, you will find that they are comforting rather than confusing. And I saw this, and I say this with caution as well, that it is comforting to those who are in Christ, those who are believers, but confusing for those that are outside of Christ. Only believers in Christ are given the spirit of discernment by having the gift of the Holy Spirit, who make known to us the word of the Lord and bear witness to our spirit. We who are in Christ, we have this assurance of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. So today we're going to focus on the parable of the sower, and there are names and there are other names given to the parable, such as, we're going to look at the parables of the sower, and we know that for those of you who are familiar with this parable, also know that it is called the parable of the seeds or the parable of the soil. And come to think of it, I should have, when I was preparing this message, I should have titled this message, The Sower, the Seed, and the Soil, because that's exactly what the parable is all about. The emphasis is placed on the soil. This morning, the sower represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit that opens the heart of man and woman to respond to the gospel. The seed that we're represents the word of God, which is being sown, the word of the kingdom, which we just read of, is the gospel being preached, and then the gospel which is being that is also proclaimed. And then the soul represents the heart of man and woman, and how they would respond to the gospel, or the word of the kingdom in this passage that we read. And it is no surprise that not everyone will respond to the gospel, and we just read that this morning. So I will spend some time to touch on the hearts, the four hearts that Jesus mentioned, or the four soil that is mentioned in this parable. The soil is the only thing in this parable that is different each and every time that we read this passage. The sower and the seeds never changes. The sower never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The soil, like I said, will always change. God's word will never change. 2,000 years ago, the word has still been the same, and then we are reading that same word today, so it's never changed. And the people in Jesus' day were very anxious to find out more about the kingdom of God and what Jesus was talking about, the kingdom of God. And that's where this parable, that Jesus introduced this parable. Jesus knew the heart of those who were following him, just like he knows our heart today. As much as they who were following Jesus were very anxious of knowing about their kingdom, what Jesus said to them that day, we all will realize that, or note for a fact that their hearts were far, far from wanting to know the truth, wanting to really understand what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God. They were anxious of knowing, but their heart was very far from it. Which is the reason why when we read Matthew last week, chapter 13, Jesus said, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people, he said, heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And the main reason for this parable is about hearing God's word. It has nothing to do with how much work we can do to prove that we are going to make it into the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with good works. We know that good works are going to We are going to be rewarded for our good works, but we can never use good work to guarantee our salvation. And Jesus knew that day that there were four groups of people that were in that crowd, or that were following him, that wanting to know about the kingdom. And the four groups are those whose hearts are hard, and they have no place for God or God's word. They are those whose hearts are shallow, which means that there is no place as well for God's word. Maybe it's for a time and then it just withered away. And those whose hearts are choked or those who are strangled by other things of this world, and those whose hearts are open for the gospel. So we're going to briefly look at these four hearts this morning. So the first hearts or the first represent the type of soil that Jesus talked about, the hard-hearted heart. Verse 11 and 12 said, the seed is the word of God. The one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And here in this passage here in verse 11 and 12 that we read, as Jesus says, that the seed is the word of God, but the one along the path are those who have heard, but the word has no place in their heart. And the word here, the word of the kingdom that Jesus talks about, is the gospel we preach. And Jesus, as we know, came preaching or speak about the kingdom of God, and talks about the God's sovereign rule and God's sovereign reign over the hearts and lives of men and women. The soil represents the heart of man, which Jesus called the path. And the path is the heart that is hard against the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The heart, the Bible says, as we know, is in man is sinful, right? In Jeremiah, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And here we see that the heart of man is sinful. It's hard against, it's against God's word and against God. And there is no room for the word of God. So ever since the creation of man, man has been in rebellion against God. And we know that humanity has always been in rebellion against God and the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they are people who will never respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are in a state of rebellion. And they love, the Bible says, they love darkness rather than light and will never come to faith. And Jesus said that they will never hear. They will never understand. They will never come to faith because their heart is hard. Why? Because the devil, the Bible says, has come to snatch away the word from their heart. And especially that first saying of Jesus, the first heart that Jesus talks about, it's very sometimes hard for other people to understand or to grasp what it is. And like I said last week, that even when I was younger and I got saved and I read this, I was very, very much confused as to why. If Jesus come to save all and to die for all, then why is that so? And then over the years, I've learned to understand that the gospel, that there are people who are going to refuse the gospel. There are people whose heart is against the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will never open their heart to the gospel. But we are not the ones to judge anyone when they don't respond to the gospel. We leave that for God to do in their heart and in their lives, whether they come to faith or not. But our role and our responsibility, what we're called to do as believers in Christ, is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're called to go in all the world and preach the gospel. We're not the ones that bring anyone to faith. It is the Holy Spirit that is at work in the hearts and lives of men and women to convict their hearts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and to bring them to faith. So that is the first heart. The second heart is taken is verse 13, which represents the shallow heart. This is not a hard heart or the path. This is the shallow heart. And verse 13 says, and the verse says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And these are people who hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond to it with joy and excitement. And they love what they hear and they love what they see and they are attracted to Christianity. These are people who make a profession of faith, but there is no genuine repentance to turn away from sin and turn to God in full obedience to His Word. And these are people who don't read. Yes, they are excited when they hear the gospel. These are people who don't read their Bible, do not spend time to know God or know His Word. And when temptation, as the Bible says, when temptation and trial comes and their faith is put to a test, it says they fall away. Jesus said they immediately fall away. There is no room. There is no Ruth. So they're not anchored in the Word of God. They're not anchored in their faith. They are willing to, those who respond to the gospel in this way are willing to like we said, throw in the towel and ready to give up. Why? Because the Christian life is too hard. And they love what they can get out of it, but they're not willing to make the sacrifice. And the falling away Jesus talks about means that they are never truly converted, never born again, never come to faith or true repentance and confession. Just like the people in Jesus, they were following Him for what they could get out of Him, but their heart were far from what He was teaching. Following Jesus means that you and I must be willing, brothers and sisters, as Jesus said, you must deny yourself. It also means that you must deny your mother, your brother, your sister. Deny in that passage really means that we must love them less. Every other relationship we must love less and love Jesus more than every other thing. Even our own self, we are to take up our cross and follow Him. And one thing I want to say this morning, Jesus never, never, ever guarantees an easy road ahead when you come to faith in Him. But one thing we do know is that He promised to be with us. He says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, but I will be with you even to the end. And that is the assurance that we have this morning as believers in Christ, that even though the road is bumpy and it's hard and our back is against the wall, we can one thing for certain, that yes, He will see us through. He promised to take our hands and guide our feet and lead us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Which is the reason why we can say, like David, even though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I, David says, will fear no evil, because there is an assurance that we have, this assurance that we have in Christ. And because He promised that to us, that we can come here this morning and rest assured that He will be with us no matter what. No matter how bad it looks and how bad it feels. And no matter how much we're going through, that's one thing that we can do certain of, that we can trust in Him. He said that He will uphold us with His right hand of righteousness. And the third heart is a type of soil that represents a strangled heart. Verse 14 says, and as for what fell among the thorns, these are the seed, or the word of God, they are those who will hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruits does not mature. The thorns here represents the cares of the world. These are people who have made a profession of faith. They love the Christian way of life, but they also has a deeper love for the things of the world, and the things of the world has choked and blinded their eyes for the love of Christ. They are blinded by the riches. They are blinded by the fame, the popularity. They are blinded by their self-image of looking good and feeling good. And they want to enjoy all of that in its fullest. And they are more concerned of having security here on earth, but no desire for the things of God or for the eternal security. These are people like the rich young ruler. They are not willing to trade their earthly possession or idols for eternal salvation. No, they want to enjoy the riches and fame. And they put so much emphasis on the temporal, but not that which is eternal. And that's what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Go sell all that you have. Go sell it. Didn't mean to get rid of it, but just to know where his heart was. Because he so loved all that he has, his wealth and all that he has achieved here. It's like the man who has plenty, you know, a crop. He had a great, good, bountiful crop that year, and he said, he built, you know, break down the smaller barns and build bigger barns. And he said, I have many laid up, much laid up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy the pleasures of life. And what happened that night? You know, God knocks at his door and said, your life is required of you. But what will it profit a man, the Bible says, if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? And we're told that we are not to love the world, nor the things of this world. And here we see Jesus is also saying that those who yet want to enjoy the pleasures of the world, they will love these things because their heart and their desires is so focused after these things. But the things of God, not the things of God, sorry. You see, we cannot love God and love mammon at the same time, as the Bible says. You will love one and you will hate the other. You can't have love in two places at the same time. Jesus said that these people are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. And the fourth type of soil represents the open heart. Verse 15. As for that in the good soil, Jesus said, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart and bear fruit with patience. The good soil, this is the heart that hears the word of God and responds to it. There is evidence of true repentance by bearing fruit. Not only true repentance, but they bring forth fruit in their times and in season. And as you can see, only one-third of the group of people that Jesus was talking about hear the good news of the gospel. If you were to take the four groups of people that are there, only one-third will respond to the gospel. And this is also true for us today, that when we go and preach and teach or whatever we do and share the good news of the gospel, we must never be disappointed, because it is God who is at work in the lives of men and women. And we are called, like I said, to share, to do our part in ministering the gospel. Or we can simply say disciples of Jesus Christ. When we tell our friends and our neighbors and our family, or whoever we come into contact with, the result is always God. We are the ones that are encouraged to continue to share the good news of the gospel. Not everyone, like I said, will respond to the gospel. God is the one that changes the disposition of the hearts of men and women. The good soil will always, the Bible says, bring forth good fruit. Good fruit. Every born-again believer is considered a good soil because they have responded to the gospel. The Holy Spirit has quickened their heart, convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And they respond to the call of God. Paul says that in Romans that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Dead men has no life. Dead men just can't get up and walk. We all know that. That's why Paul says we are dead in our trespasses and sin. It's until God comes, God, Holy Spirit comes and quicken our dead spirit, makes it alive, we respond to the gospel. And those who God call, God will remain. They will continue to bear fruit. And those are the same people that will make every effort to be in communion with other believers, will be in communion with fellow believers in Christ. They will do everything to be in the house of the Lord, to worship and to fellowship, and will allow their light to shine so that men can see. And you're here today because you love the Lord with all your heart, as the Bible says. You love, your heart is open to the gospel. You're hungry for the word. I mean, I've been coming here for a number of months now, and And one thing that I have discovered coming here, and I said this before, it's watching even during the winter months how you take that opportunity to come here, even when there's a storm outside and there is snow. But yet again, you're here. You're here to hear God's word. You're here to fellowship. You're here to just be in the house of the Lord. Because you love the Lord. You love God. You love your church community. And so I want to encourage you this morning. But first of all, I'd like to ask this question. Which one of the four hearts is yours? And I'm certain we are going to say it's the good heart, the good soil. But yet again, we know in the midst of Jesus, there were people whose hearts were far from him. And I trust and pray that every one of us here heart is a good soil, is a good heart that Jesus talks about, the one that bears fruit. And even in the church today, there are people who are hard towards the gospel. They're in church. I mean, I was considered one of those people. I used to go to church and I used to walk out. I used to just be there because somebody invited me. I wanted nothing to hear or do with the gospel. For me, it was all nonsense. It was all waste of time. I would sit there and never wanting to hear it. I turned my heart away from it because I was just only doing it because I was pleasing someone to be there. And if you're here to just please someone and not open to allow God to speak to you, then I want to encourage you. Don't be the cold-hearted heart where there is no room for God. Open up your heart and allow God to speak to you. The shallow heart are those who get excited, like I said. And they hear the word and then after a while turn away. Are there anyone among us here this morning who just love the things of God, just love to be among fellow believers, who love the Christian faith and who enjoy coming in the morning, but when you leave here, what happens after that? There is no desire for God. There is no desire for reading his word. There's no desire for anything else. It's just a check mark every week in your calendar or in your own personal lives because it's good to come and sit with no room, but you're not allowing the word of God to take an effect in your life. Or the hearts that is choked and strangled. Are you here this morning where you have more love for the things of this world, where you care for everything else, but yeah, I'm just here this morning, but you know, I'm more concerned about what I have and what I possess than what I love and the material things, the pleasures, or the open heart, and you're saying, yes, those who are willing to continue to do what God has called you to do. You love the Lord and you're going to serve him. And even when thing doesn't go, like I said earlier on just now, a few minutes ago, that even when your back is against the wall, even when life is difficult, even when the reports from the doctor doesn't seem to be something that you can rejoice, but it brings pain and hurt and you're afraid to share it with friends and family, yet again you know that you can trust in one thing in Jesus Christ. Yet again you can trust in his unfailing love, and you can trust that he will uphold you and he will keep you even when you feel as if you have no peace. Yet again he comes and you can experience his peace. Even in the midst of storm, even in the midst of all the things that life has thrown to you, you can yet again rest in his love and his comfort. And you can only possess one heart, one of these four hearts. There's only one heart you can possess. And I encourage you this morning to examine yourself. And the reason why Jesus explained the parable to his disciples was because many of those who were following him, he knew deep down in their hearts that their heart was far from him. They were not willing to make that sacrifice to follow him. And the same is hold true today. You see, Christianity, in closing, is not about telling someone that you are a Christian. It's not how well you can debate and study and represent the gospel, or how versed you are. It's about bearing fruit and living out our lives so that others can see. Jesus said, let your light so shine. And just like a seed, brothers and sisters, this morning, just like how a seed has to be planted, and even so we too as believers in Christ, rooted and grounded in God's word, and over time, as it's watered, that Paul says, God is the one that does that work. Right, the right time with the seed, the right soil, the sunlight, everything else, it will soon, at some point in time, blossom into a lovely plant. And eventually will bring forth fruit. And even so, in our Christian lives, we're called to bear fruit. We are fruit bearers, brothers and sisters. And that's what Jesus said. He indeed bears fruit and yield. In one case, 100. And in another, 60. And in another, 30. We will, as believers in Christ, bear fruit if we are in Christ. And so, this morning, I would like to encourage you to continue to bear fruit, continue to do what God has called us to do. So let our light shine before men so that they can see the good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let us pray. Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you again for your word to remind us, Lord, of this passage. Lord, there's so much that we can take away this morning. And Lord, I pray this day, Lord, for those whose hearts are hard, those whose hearts are shallow, Lord, those who care more about the things of this world. I pray, God, that wherever they are, and if they are this morning here, God, that you will speak to them, that it's only through your Spirit that they can come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray that you continue to minister to them and bring them to faith. Only you can do such a work in their lives. As they leave here this morning, God, I pray that they will continue to ponder over these words, that your Holy Spirit will continue to minister. Lord, for those that are open to your word, the good soil, those that respond to the gospel, love to be in fellowship, love to worship, Lord, those that are allowing their light to shine so that others can see and be a light in their home and in their community. I pray, Lord, that you continue to, Lord, to strengthen them, continue to encourage them even when they are down, even when, God, they are troubling times. God, that they can continue to rest in you, Father. Give them the peace that passeth all understanding. Comfort their hearts. Strengthen them, Father. For those that are struggling, God, we give you praise and give you thanks to the Lord that you can once again speak to us through your word. And as we go, Father, we pray that you will take our hands and lead us by your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.